You good?
Yeah. Welcome, everyone. Very festive evening. I'd like to begin by quoting my great guru, Baba Muktananda, who began every program by saying in Hindi, Sabko var sanmane ke saath prem se hardik swagat. With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And that was the essence of his teaching, to welcome another person with love, with the understanding that every person has the divine spark, the divine self within them, including yourself, and that the real goal of life was to know that self within yourself. There's so many obscuring factors. They call them, in Shaivism, they call them malas or kanchukas. These are all things that obscure knowing who we truly are. Our insecurities, our self-hatred, our all kinds of our ignorance. But if we work on it, if we work on ourselves, if we undergo what I call second education, the first education is the education of your personality, of your external, so you can operate in the world. But the second education is the education of the inner self, education of self-knowledge. And this has been a big void in our culture, this lack of understanding of this other kind of education. And that's what this ashram is about. This ashram is a university of second education. And everything that happens here is for self-knowledge, so that we come to understand ourselves, that we come to learn about negative emotions and learn how to deal with them, get rid of them. We learn about positive emotions, about love and joy, and we learn how to enhance them, and we learn about who we really are and what way is up and what way is down. And this is second education. So to celebrate second education, in these programs, I celebrate the great professors of second education. And they are the sages, the seers, the saints, the yogis, the realizers, the realized beings of all the traditions, from the Buddha to Jesus to Ramana Maharshi to Sri Ramakrishna, and to my own guru, Baba Muktananda, and to the great Bhagwan Nityananda, who was his guru. So we celebrate these great professors of second education, and their teaching is very simple. It's that we too can become professors of second education. And we can, by knowing ourselves, by making the effort, turning within. We spend a lot of time doing all kinds of things. Some people go to the gym and work all day long sculpting their muscles. And others practice other kinds of arts. But very few people work on themselves so that they can become an inner statue and attain the bliss of the self. And that's what we're about. So the professor that I'm going to draw on tonight is, seems like ages since we've heard from him, and his name is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Would you say he's intense? It's a wonderful photograph. I had the great pleasure and the good fortune to have met once in Bombay on one of my leaves from the ashram. Girija and I went, at my insistence, I said, let's go meet Nisargadatta. I'd heard so much about him. And we went, we found his place down an obscure lane in a humble part of the city. Somebody told me they visited. Who was it? Is
Asha.
It? What?
Asha and Jagadish.
Oh, Jagadish, yeah, and Asha. anybody else? Did you go too?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. But anyway, I think we interrupted his nap or something, but he came out very gracious. He had his grandchildren serve us tea, went upstairs and we had a conversation, just the three of us, and no translator. And he spoke Marathi and we spoke English, and we communicated perfectly. And he was full of intensity and full of love and full of humor, even though we couldn't understand each other. I showed him a picture of my, I said, my guru. He said, oh, Muktananda. And he says, Mera guru. He points to his guru, whose picture is on the wall. And so we had this conversation. And I thought, I could feel that he was had spiritual greatness. And then later I discovered that he was what they call a yani, or a master of the path of wisdom, path of knowledge. I'll talk about it in a minute. What else do we have? This is the way he looked the day I met him. He loved talking to people about the highest truth, and especially loved arguing with them. And he had to win every argument. And one of his unique things is he chain smoked. No one else smoked in his satsang. No one was allowed to smoke but him. And he would chain smoke and look at you very intensely. His profession was a cigarette salesman. And he became rather wealthy with several stores. But go on. He's making an intense point there.
He's scary.
He was so sweet. He was. But he was very intense. He's humorous. I thought he was just funny as heck. Okay. So I was saying that he taught the path of wisdom. Maybe you could say in the tradition of Advaita Vedanta, non-dual wisdom. One of the great things about the path of yoga, the Indian path of yoga, is that they understand differences, that people are of different types, and not everybody can practice the same path. And some people are intellectual, and some people are emotional, and some people are physical, and so there are various types, and so they have different paths that suit different sensibilities. And Nisargadatta Bhava's path was the path of wisdom. And in the path of wisdom, you use the intellect like a razor to strip away all ignorance and chop away to the essence. There's no tolerance for any of that. other people find it too demanding in a certain way, and rather practice devotion or do spiritual practices, do yoga and so on. But this is Maharaj. So this is a dialogue with Maharaj. There's a great book called I Am That, which I recommend, which is a collection of 101 dialogues with Nisargadatta Maharaj. But this is not, this is from a secret source. This is not from that book. Maharaj says, whatever appears has no permanence. You know, if you've studied philosophy, they talk about appearances. What appears means what manifests to our senses. So everything we see is appears. So whatever comes about has no permanence. And whatever has not appeared has no reality. So you have a problem here. Whatever hasn't appeared is not real, and whatever is here is not permanent. He says, however, what remains is that, the absolute. And then he says, that is like Bombay. So it's not about what doesn't exist, and it's not about everything we see, all the stuff of the world. There's something behind all that. He says, that's like Bombay. And the visitor says, Bombay is certainly manifesting very strongly at the moment. There's no doubt about that. Now, a lot of you have been to Bombay. And Bombay has its own personality, and it's a massive thing. I think Maharaj is talking about that. Maharaj says, sometimes I ask people whether Bombay sleeps, whether it wakes up in the morning, whether it is worried, whether it has pain and pleasure. I'm not talking about the people of Bombay or about the land that it occupies, but about the essence of Bombay. So Bombay is like a massive giant that has a self. And then he goes on the end of that little bit. You've just told me that sitting here, you know who you are, he's saying to the person in the dialogue. I accept this. However, before sitting here, did you have this knowledge that you exist? This consciousness, this beingness which you're experiencing now, was it there earlier? So he's saying that the person says, I understand, I have a feeling about the self. Well, I'm sitting with you. And Maharaj says, did you know about it before you came here? And the person says, it's been on and off. This is the visitor. When I do what Maharaj tells me, it's very clear. When he does the practice that Maharaj had a very simple practice. And it was to focus on I am. You notice we say we say I am about a million times a day. I am hungry. I am cold. I am unhappy. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I am this. I'm great. I'm terrible. I am. And the yanis say that just stop at the I am. Not the predication, but just I am. And that's the truth, I am. So stay with I am, the feeling of beingness. It's a wonderful contemplation, which I practiced for years, just to feel what it's like just to be. You know, you are someone who's been angry, you've been happy. I'm just assuming this, that may be untrue of you. Who knows anyway, never mind. You've been angry, haven't you? You've been sad. You've been happy. You've been full of desire. You've been detached. You've been relieved. You've been outraged. You've been hopeful. You've been disappointed. And behind all that, there's this person, this I am-ness, that was all those things. So Maharaj says, focus on the I am-ness, not all the different variations. There's a beingness behind it. Without that beingness, none of these other things are possible. He says, the visitor says, it's still in an infantile stage, but my sense of ego is very strong. Sometimes it relaxes, and I feel great happiness, peace, and clarity, but it comes and goes, and I forget. So he's saying that he sometimes gets in touch with his beingness behind all those changes and feels very happy and relaxed. But then it goes away. And, you know, that's very, let me just tell you this. When you do yoga, especially in a great tradition like this one, where you receive Shaktipat and you get in touch with it, you can become very ecstatic. You can be filled with shakti, filled with energy, so much so that you think, aha, I am the Buddha. I am God walking the earth. And then because you don't understand certain laws, you lose it, and then it's as though it never existed. And you think, oh, I'm so depressed, this is horrible. And then again, something happens, and you go up again. You go up and down. It's called up and down. And it's normal. It's normal. And then as you do this up and down thing, am I talking in a void, or are you relating to what I'm saying?
Yes.
And through that up and down movement, one learns why you go up and why you go down. There's a reason that you go up and the reason you go down. When you're not meditating, you think it just seems random. It's just random. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. But it's not random. There are laws that are operating, and as we discover them, we learn not to go down so far and to go up more frequently. You move from 27% up to 31% up, and then 52% up, and only 48% down. And soon, you win the election. Anyway, so Maharaj says, your conventional personality is time-bound. So our normal personality, our normal identification, a social personhood, is time-bound. It made its appearance in childhood, and it's here now. But you cannot possibly say that it is eternal. Don't believe that it is permanent. As long as you have this ego consciousness, you'll keep trying to acquire things, and these things will have an emotional significance for you. Not only acquiring things, but you'll do all these things to make you feel good about yourself. You know, it's not just things, but you achieve this, or have somebody like you, or whatever. Might get possessions, but also other things. However, consider this fact. Your ego consciousness itself is time-bound and will dissolve one day. So what is the value of all these things which you possess? And the visitor says, no value. That was a little too quick, but okay. Maharaj, as long as you've not understood your original consciousness, you'll get lost in the world and its activities. By that means that if you don't stabilize in your true self, beingness, then you'll go up and down with stuff that happens to you. Good things happen, you'll be up. Bad things happen, down. And the nature of the world is more bad things happen than good things. That's the nature of reality. That's what the Buddha said. And no matter how successful you are, even Taylor Swift has more bad things happen in her life than good things. Would you believe that?
No.
It's true. Therefore, Therefore, the real liberation is only when you understand that original consciousness, when you understand that true self. Do you agree? The visitor says, I do agree. Very agreeable. Maharaj, during our entire lifetime, you do not have any permanent identity. During your, whatever you consider yourself to be changes, moment to moment, nothing is constant. And the visitor says, and what you think you're going to become changes too with time in spite of yourself. Maharaj says, all those changes are also made possible by your original consciousness, the self. So the self is behind all these changes, he's saying. Because of that, all these changes take place. That is why you must grasp this principle. So Maharaj, like Baba, is teaching about the self, the basic consciousness, our basic nature. Baba would always say that his teaching is to know the self. Maharaj would say the same thing. Their methods were very different, but the goal is the same. That's crucial to know our true self. And it's crucial not just for an intellectual thing, but for happiness, for fulfillment. He says, Maharaj says, if you really want to understand this, you must give up your identification with the body. By all means, make use of the body, but don't consider yourself to be the body while acting in this world. Identify yourself with the consciousness which dwells in the body. with that identity of the consciousness in the body, you should act in the world. Is that possible? He asked the person. The visitor says, it seems difficult because the identification with the body is so habitual. Maharaj, so as long as you identify yourself with the body, you experience pain and sorrow, and it will increase day by day. That is why you must give up this identification and should identify yourself with consciousness. See, I've come to believe that it's very hard to tell a person, don't identify with the body. But it's much better to tell someone, identify with the consciousness. This is what Baba told me. He said, always think, I am the self. Better to think of the positive. Connect with that higher self. Keep contemplating that higher self. Keep searching within yourself, connecting to it. To do that as many times as you can in a day. Remember always, while you're going through it and your ego is getting bruised and you're in the battle of life, remember the self. Remember the self. Keep remembering the self. And then slowly, without you even knowing it, your identification shifts. He says, you take yourself as the body, it means you've forgotten your true self, which is the Atman. Atman is the Sanskrit for the self. And sorrow results for the one who forgets himself. When the body falls, the principle which always remains is you. It says when you die, the self continues. The self continues. If you identify yourself with the body, you will feel you're dying. But in reality, there is no death because you're not the body. This is what the yogis say. There is no death. What if that were true? That you're never going to die. Oh, what a scary thought. The body will die. Good riddance to it. It's such a mass of pain and suffering. The consciousness, the awareness, never dies. He said, let the body be there or not be there. Your existence is always there. It is eternal. Really contemplate that. The way to do it is, you know, some of us have I had a lot of skepticism. I came from a skeptical tradition. So I practiced being, what's the opposite of skepticism? Believer? I'm a believer. What? I saw Baba's face, I'm a believer. No, so, a Christian, no. Christian, yeah. But I said, what if this is true? What the sages say, what if it's true? And entertain it. Just twist your mind around that way instead of being at the mercy of your cynicism or skepticism. He says, your existence is always there. It's eternal. The visitor says, that's very beautiful. And when you say it, I can feel it. Here in satsang, we feel it intuitively. We reach out and sense it. Maharaj, now you've heard my words, but who is it that's heard me? It's not the ear, not the physical body, but that knowledge which is in the body that has heard me. So identify yourself with that knowledge, that consciousness. It's consciousness which hears the teaching. And consciousness will recognize the truth of it. And whatever happiness we enjoy in this world is limited. Real happiness is to know your beingness, which is apart from the body. You should never forget your real identity. So again, he's saying exactly what Baba said. Know yourself. That's really the key to happiness. Doesn't mean give up your life as you lead your life, but spend some time every day meditating, contemplating, and thinking about the self behind all of that. The more we're caught up in our personalities, the more suffering there is, because then we just worry about what other people think about us, how we're doing, what they're saying behind our back, and what they're doing, this and that. But when we know the self, then we stand in a place where we can't be assailed. He says, now you've heard my words, they will work in you slowly. They will sprout. Take up the chant, I am consciousness. This is Nisargadatta's version of Shaktipat. See, Baba was a Shaktipat guru. In his presence, you felt this powerful energy, and it uplifted you, and it moved through you, and transformed you. And with the yanis, they don't talk about it that way, but they talk instead about a knowledge that sprouts. That's like the Shakti being awakened. And it's the knowledge, I am the self, that awakens and works in you. The knowledge actually works in you. And then Maharaj says, Muktananda told my friend Shankarananda to always think I am consciousness also. That was the right instruction. Whoa, I had forgotten that that was written in there. That chant should go on without any effort. One who's constantly awake to his true nature, having this knowledge about himself, is liberated. Well, it's true that Baba told me to think always, I am consciousness. I am the self. And that's why I put it on a card and gave it out. Because it's a wonderful contemplation. Alongside the mantra, to contemplate this, I am the self. I am conscious. Baba gave this to me in the most powerful way. Extraordinary awakening took place. There's so much energy in it. And so I feel that part of my job is to share that. That knowledge. I am the self. I am consciousness. I am not this other thing. I mean, that's there too. But my essential nature is I am the self. And it doesn't matter how you understand it. You might have the dumbest attitude about it. You might think, God knows what you might think. But think about it. I am the self. And you should teach your children that too. Tell them, you know, kid, I am the self. What am I, daddy? I am the self. Well, what does it mean? I don't know. Just think about it. It will work. It will sprout. It will sprout. This knowledge sprouts because it's the words of the great beings. Goes on, one who remembers that he is the knowledge, that he is consciousness, eventually becomes para-brahman, eventually merges in that knowledge, becomes the self, becomes God, becomes Brahman. So if you take a photograph of Bombay, the real Bombay is not in the photograph, isn't that true? Yes, the visitor says, the spirit of Bombay would not be there. Maharaj, the same is true of a photograph of yourself. It would show your body, but not your true essence. You are like Bombay. Remembering that you are consciousness should be without any effort. When you say, I, don't refer to this body. What's happened?
You shut the door, maybe.
Is that rain?
No, it's overflow from the tank coming back. I haven't quite figured out why it's doing that.
Oh.
Been looking out for a while.
That's all right. It's like, it feels like the monsoons.
Yeah.
So, it says, when you say I...
Nobody's drowned.
Nobody's drowned. Not that I know of.
Is somebody going to drown?
Okay.
When you say I, don't refer to this body's I, but to that I which represents consciousness. That consciousness is I. And make use of this knowledge when you act. Always contemplate the I. So we should do that. I haven't even gotten a third of the way through this. So. but you know what I'll do? I'll go to the end. Throw the rest out. The best part I'm throwing out. the juicy part.
You'll get it next time.
The part about Meghan Markle. They're really juicy stuff. Okay, so I'll do the last part of it, and then we'll meditate. The visitor said, I studied the Bhagavad Gita and try to understand Krishna's teaching to Arjuna. Does Maharaj value those ancient scriptures? So, of course, the Bhagavad Gita is the great, ancient, most popular scripture of India, and it's a teaching of a guru to the disciple. The guru is Lord Krishna, the incarnation of the divine, and his student is the archer, the great archer, Arjuna. And he teaches him in 18 chapters about the self. Maharaj says, whatever Krishna stated is perfectly correct. For that moment, that particular time in history, it was most appropriate. But that moment, that time has gone. He also is gone. The spiritual revelation happened in him. That's why he is great. So he's saying that, in a sense, there's one truth, but sometimes it has to be molded to the listening of a particular age. It has to come in a way that people of a particular time can hear it. He says, Maharaj says, you are seeing and understanding things through the concepts which you've absorbed. So he's saying you're reading all this stuff and you're having concepts about what you're reading. But as a matter of fact, the actual state of affairs is quite different. You're holding on to it as the truth, but whatever you've heard will not remain as authority or as permanent. It will disappear. Then after the disappearance of everything, whatever remains, that you are. So he's very radical, Maharaj, complete radical. A great jnanis are complete radical yogis. Just like in Christianity, the fundamentalists talk about the Bible as the truth, the word of God, and so the fundamentalist Hindus will talk about the Bhagavad Gita, and so on. But a radical jnani will say, throw out all these books. You have the book in your own heart. Find it. Give up it. Because you read all the books, you get all the concepts. The concepts just become a block, an obstacle to the actual experience. Now that's both true and not true. These scriptures are tremendous help on the way. But ultimately, you have to move from an intellectual knowledge, the knowledge of the professor of first education, to become a professor of second education. You move into experience. It moves from intellectual knowledge to actual knowledge. He says, unless you give up whatever you've heard and abide in yourself, you will not understand all of this. You may take it upon yourself to investigate this entire manifest world and whatever you've heard, but you'll be caught more and more in a quagmire. Visitor, why doesn't everybody become Krishna? Maharaj, when Krishna was born, he was born into the same I am that you were. He didn't have anything different from what you have. Every one of us has that same self. Everyone is born into this I am. Understand that. Visitor. Maharaj continues. What is this touch of I am-ness, that touch of child in you? I love that touch of child, the unsophisticated. The thing that's there before you've built up all your personality and all your trips, your essential nature. He says that sense of child, when did you discover that you are? If you just employ that, what you've heard, you won't understand this. You know that you are not, and then you knew that you are not, and then you are. How did that happen? You are not, and then suddenly you are. That is what we want to discover. Discover what it means to exist. Just find out and inquire about your own self. Since when did you come to know yourself? Investigate your feeling of self as it is right now. This is the essence right here. That's the thing we have to work with. Go into that feeling and churn it. Find out its mystery and enter into it deeply. So that's the end of that dialogue. It's wonderful stuff. Let's do that. Let's churn it. It's like churning butter, isn't it? Do we churn anything these days? I don't know. But his method, as I said, is to take the thought, I am. So I'll lead you into that. Then we'll meditate for 10 minutes. So you take the thought, I am, which is not foreign to anybody. We say that, as I said, we say that repeatedly, I am, I am, I am. And just stop with the I am, just be with the I am, and go from the thought I am to the feeling of what it is to be, I am. I am, and then feel what it is, where that points you, that thought. And that is pointing you towards the actual experience of the self. So at the beginning of meditation, we'll meditate for 10 minutes. Get in touch with your I am-ness. And after a while, thoughts will start to come up and you'll lose touch with it. Go back to the I am-ness. Or if you prefer, you can go to the mantra. Just repeat Om Namah Shivaya and let the thoughts dissolve. But at least at the beginning, get a feeling for that sense of the I am that is always with you. So once again, with great love and respect, I welcome you all with all my heart. Let's meditate for 10 minutes. Satguru Nath Maharaj Ki Jai.